President, President.
Good evening and welcome to the Discovery Bay Public Financing Authority meeting, special meeting tonight. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Will you all rise and follow me in the pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Still.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
All right, public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the authority's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Would anybody like to come up and have a public comment? This time I will close public comment. I'd like to move on to the consent calendar here.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
Just have one question on the roll, on the minutes from the last one. Under roll call, who's Al present?
Good old Al.
I don't remember him being here. Okay. No fun.
Excuse me, could you say
that? Oh, yeah, what phone is on?
Sure.
All right. I'm sorry, I have a first or a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
I already second.
Oh,
all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Is that Alan on there?
Any member comments at this time? I don't have anything to report.
No.
Rick, do you have anything to report? Okay, thank you. All right, at this time I will adjourn our public financing authority meeting. All right, that was pretty slow. All right, guys.
Well, you can look at the other two.
That's true, thank you.
Chris Martin, Kevin.
At this time, I'd like to bring the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Town of Discovery Bay CSD to order. We've already had our pledge allegiance. So roll call, please.
President Still.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
Present.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. At this time, we have public comments. Again, individual public comments will be limited to 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Any public comments? Now is the time. At this time, I'd like to close public comment, and I'll turn it over to staff for presentations.
We have no presentations this evening.
All right, excellent. All right. Sheriff's report, please.
Well, we got one extra, so you're good to go.
Okay.
So.
All right, thank you.
I still can't count, but it's the right way.
Made one for Al.
Okay.
He's not here.
He's not present.
It was a busy month, but I guess in a positive way. We had a lot of arrests up from the previous month, as you can see. Page 2, just there alone, 4 warrant arrests. I don't know if the courts were busy or what the deal was, but a lot of arrests came out from the courts this month, so we've been actively trying to find people and serve the warrants, and we're were successful in four cases. The other thing I wanted to point out, it's a little misleading when you look at all the property theft type of crimes. That includes your bank theft, grand theft, and burglaries. It looks like there are a lot of them, but when I went back and double-checked them, so there are a couple of duplicates, like you'll see under the grand theft other. There are two listed at Dune Point Place. It's actually one of those, it's the same case, but there was somebody drew a second case number for some reason that shouldn't have been drawn, so it's a little misleading. And the other thing to note is that the petty thefts, there are four of them. There are two petty thefts from buildings and two petty theft others. One, two, three, even though they show different addresses, the addresses pop up from what the deputy puts as the address in the report. Three of those are actually the same type of incident, same suspect, along with the commercial burglary. They're actually all the same thing, but the way that each deputy wrote his report separately using a different address. One used a residential address, one used a commercial address, one used an address where we located the individual. It should be consistent. I apologize it's not, but the reality is those four are the same, and we took a juvenile into custody for all of those. So that was another positive thing. Again, a little misleading from the charts, but or from the data, but those were all the same. So I was pleased to see that the warrant arrests were being made, and actually the property crimes with people in custody. Some of those warrant arrests also had to do with some of the property crimes as well. The warrants came out behind some of those. So they're listed as separate incidents, but they're really connected. So while it may look like a lot of property crimes, actually you ended up with a lot of people in custody behind all of those. So we're closing those cases out, which is good. So, yes, sir.
I think last month you said that the burglaries are up a little bit.
Yes.
And then so you're talking about arrests. Are these arrests directly related to those burglaries, or are they different things?
We think so. The detectives are still working on that. I can say some of them, yes. There are a couple of them that are directly related because we found stolen property related to those cases.
Right.
Others, strong suspicion they're related, but we haven't found the connection yet.
Facebook. Go to Facebook.
There we go. There's some where we know the property that was stolen. We've recovered some jewelry in one case. We recovered a purse in another case. So we know obviously those are related. And since there were other crimes that occurred in the same time frame, same general area, we suspect they're linked, but we haven't caught the suspect yet to be able to
make
the connection.
So right.
In all likelihood, yes, but we don't know.
We're getting there.
We're getting there, yes.
I got you.
Yes.
Any questions? I probably should know this, but I know the very last item says DR number issued an error. Have we had that before?
No, that means that's what should have happened with some of these other ones where you like that Dune Point where you saw duplicate case numbers. That means that the deputy went out and they drew a case number on it.
Oh.
And they realized either somebody else had already drawn one or that the case was already opened by investigations and they shouldn't have opened it again. So we do what's called DR drawn an error. DR stands for deputy's report number, case
that
number.
That, in essence, cancels out one or the other.
Yes.
And gets your record straight.
Yes,
that's all.
And that's
understood.
What should have happened, like with the Duke.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd seen that before, and I was, okay, thank you.
That's what should have happened, so, yes.
I know you're not on the Marine Patrol, but have you heard of any stolen stereos or anything from Marine Patrol or anything, or
no.
is all that fairly under control?
I believe it's fairly under control. They've been actually doing pretty active out on the waterways. It's been end of summer. It's been mostly DUIs and drunk people causing problems.
Just like these things that we go through a rash every once in a while, where wherever they're coming from, they come in and they put the boat up, run out there in the Delta, rip the stereos out.
It's been a problem out in Bethel Island area, but not a problem for Disco Bay.
Okay.
At this point.
Right.
It's not open. Hope it doesn't become this.
Thank you.
We had some good coverage on the water this last weekend. I saw the sheriff out there and Deputy Julie and a few other people, and it was well needed, and they were at a strong presence out there by Ski Beach, so that was great.
Good.
I've got a question on
yes.
On prosecutions and these felonies, and I know you're putting people into custody, but is the DA being strong on his prosecutions, or are they letting these people? I know your jails are over full right now,
yeah.
So are they being held, or are they just released immediately?
You know, I've I'd like to see more prosecutions, but they're understaffed and under budget like everybody else. So some of them are getting back out. Not all of them, so I don't want to scare everybody, but some of them are getting back out. Especially, for example, the juvenile I mentioned, he was released fairly quickly. But obviously we know who he is, we know where he lives, and we're keeping a close eye on him. I'd like to see those prosecuted, someone kept in custody, but juvenile hall can't take him,
right?
And we get the same story. Some of the others, we are getting prosecutions, but the defense attorneys also know that the jail's overcrowded, and the DAs are overworked, so they say, they come up with a standard, fine, we'll take it to trial, which nobody wants to do,
okay.
So then it becomes a plea bargain, and they get a deal.
Okay, that makes sense to me. What about the, I saw some tows here. How come you guys are in the towing business?
Those are actually generated from citizen complaints in the community about, I know one of them, it was a boat trailer that had been left for an extended period of time.
All right.
And so that was towed and recovered there. And let's see, I think another one was a boat and a trailer, and the last one was, I think it was a broken down RV type vehicle thing that the owner declined to move on the property and do anything with, so we just towed it.
I was thinking CHP, so.
No, well, normally it would be, but they're unlikely to want to take that on, so they're short staffed too, but so we end up doing it.
Do you find that the people that you guys are catching are residents or out of the area people?
You mean the tows?
No, on any, on the, this last 6 months, do you, a lot of residents that are being thieves?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that's interesting.
I should say, since we haven't caught all of them, I can't say that they all are,
no problem.
Or that a majority is even. The ones we catch seem to be, but that could be just the minority. It's hard to say with the data, but yes, some of them are.
And one more quick question on
that
subject while we're there. Do you find that the folks that you're arresting are repeat offenders?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And that goes to the,
we're
not keeping them in the jails and they're just getting out doing their thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you very much
okay.
for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Great job.
We hope Chief Burris is as up to date as you are.
Yes,
I'm sure he's more so.
Any word?
Wow.
No CHP. Okay, no problem.
He has no respect at all.
Fire district, please.
Gets hammered before he gets to the podium.
No,
I don't even know what to say. The fire department is selling marine radios. So we're having a fundraiser. That was a joke. Sorry.
I like it.
Jim's got a bunch to sell. That's why.
Oh, fire boat. Where's the fire boat at? Let's go. Thank you.
Up and down, pass it around.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Chief Jeff Burris with the Contra Costa Fire. I'm here to give the fire report. Medicals were down 41 in the month of August. 7 structure fires, they were up. Busy month fire-wise. 2 vehicle fires, 5 vegetation fires, pulled about at norm on that. Dumpster fires were down with 2. Auto accidents were up with 9. That included a loading accident that fortunately the Marine Patrol was able to locate. We got like 4 different locations for it, and finally they actually were able to find it. 3 ladies, 3 females were thrown from the front of a Mastercraft boat that ended up on the rocks. The most serious was a 31-year-old female who had a broken neck, broken back, crushed pelvis. So no alcohol was involved with the driver, but it is still a dangerous place, the Delta. 9 auto accidents, 2 fire alarms, 4 hazardous conditions, and no smoke investigations or odor investigations this time of year. When it's a smoke investigation, it tends to be an actual fire, and 2 illegal burns. So we're down from July, 91 calls total to 74. And we did get the grant.
Did you start burning?
No.
No.
Unfortunately, 6 of our best employees got picked up by Santa Clara County, which pays really well, and they won't be coming back.
Yeah.
So we'll be lucky if we get nine back, and it's nine employees per station. So hopefully we'll be able to upstaff one station immediately, but that will be up to the fire board.
My understanding on that grant, though, is it's only effective if in order to accept it and to be able to pass your audits, it has to be at the staffing level of what you were when you applied for it. So they all you're going to have to hire 27 people back, right?
Well, we let go 17.
So we got like 17.
Okay, so 17 back then.
Yes.
Okay.
We were filling some spots with overtime in order to round out.
Okay.
So, but there's still going to be a great expense. Part of the most expensive part about training firefighters is the actual time and effort you have been involved in putting into that. So, and unfortunately, you don't want to create a mill where you're just training them and having them go elsewhere. So that was the nice thing about our local people, or what was our reserve program, we hired out of that. They tended to be our best employees because they actually wanted to work here, and we laid them off.
The auto accidents, do you think they are somewhat related to the highway construction we have going out front?
Summertime, alcohol, top down, driving fast, not paying attention, texting, talking on the phone, trying to program the iPod.
He says it's true.
I'm trying to think, drinking and driving, driving and eating,
They actually admitted to programming their iPod?
Yeah. My favorite was the soup. Eating the soup.
Wow.
Couldn't figure out what was all over the dash. A little chicken noodle soup.
Wow.
You see the ones in the morning, I leave early, you see them putting their makeup on, that's my favorite. They steer with their knees, and they're doing their eyes, and they got the mirror turned down in here, and they got their knees on the wheel, and they're doing their eyes, and they're driving through the traffic.
I put my makeup on before I leave the house.
It looks spectacular, by the way.
The colors are right. You can relate. Any
guys? I got a ticket for that one.
Any other questions from the public?
I do have to say, you have more better one-liners than AJ.
Well, I'll work on that.
He's been here a lot longer.
He has more experience.
I sing and dance also.
You threatened that. We've never actually witnessed it.
I'm kind of hoping not to see that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Guys. We appreciate it. Appreciate that. Supervisor Mary Pupo's office.
You better be funny.
I cannot compete, I'm sorry. I'm sure many of you know, and just in case you don't know, the Department of Voting and Waterways is again this year treating for Agiria, Dempsey, and Water Hyacinth. DPW is seeing and hearing good reports. The treatment started late due to delays in getting the permits, but they are very happy with the progress. If anyone has any questions regarding the treatment, we would like you to please contact DPW, and their phone number is 888-326-2822.
Say it again.
888. How about I just give you a flyer?
326-2822.
Thank you. Next, the county Department of Conservation and Development will be hosting a climate action plan open house. There's actually three, but the one out in East County is scheduled for Monday, September 24th, from 7 to 9 at the Oakley City Council Chambers. I do have this flyer that I will leave with you guys if you want to put it out front. But again, there's also one in West County and one in Central South County if you're interested in. And lastly, I just want to notify you guys in case it would impact you at all. The Public Works Department will be fully closing Deer Valley Road between Balfour and Marsh Creek for a period of 1 week, beginning on Monday, September 17th through Sunday, September 23rd, for the purpose of performing safety improvements at a roadway curve south of Chadbourne Road. Local residents and emergency vehicles will be allowed access, and signs and electronic message boards will be up to inform the motorists, starting at the bypass. The whole time.
I have two questions. Do you know anything new on the peripheral tunnels? And number two, anything new on the Department of Boating and Waterways getting absorbed?
I have not heard anything more about the Department of Boating and Waterways getting absorbed, so I can't speak to that. The Peripheral Canals Delta, that is a very broad question. There's always a lot going on. I'm sure you're all aware of the governor's announcement, which of course the county has concerns with. And we're still there fighting. You know, Mary's going to meetings multiple times a week to discuss the Delta. So we're still very engaged with all the Delta counties and in that discussion and trying to get ourselves even more in the discussion with regards to the future of the Delta.
Good, I'm good. Any questions here?
Well, I can comment on the Delta, the waterways. It's already been absorbed. It's a done deal. It's completed. There's no more separate.
For the Department of Boating and
Waterways is now part of the
Parks and Recreation
of the state of California.
State parks.
That's what it's part of. So they waited until after they did that to announce that they had $100 million surplus.
Nothing about commerce or anything. Yeah, it's just for that. All right. Well, thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Any committee reports tonight? Trans plan, funding commission.
I, Mr. President, members of the board, I attended the code enforcement meeting last Thursday at Mary's office with, along with Karen Carnell and a wide range of group of people. And some of the items that we discussed relative to Discovery Bay are the and I brought this up before to them, if you're, you see some of the signs that are advertising new home developments in Discovery Bay, that there haven't been any new homes built in a number of years in Discovery Bay. Yet the signs are still up and they're in very, very poor condition. They're faded, they're peeling, and so I've asked code enforcement to take a look at those signs and to contact the owner of those signs, and so they are in the process of doing that. Other than your typical cars that are been abandoned in driveway, boats, trailers that are being visible in driveways, and motorhomes that are visible. That's pretty much the topic du jour. So, at least as it relates to Discovery Bay.
Okay, thanks for the update. Moving on with special districts. So, all right, let's move on. Consent calendar.
I'll make a motion we accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
No. Aye.
Public comment.
Just one of the items that kind of jumped out was the computer upgrade. Was that a kind of, I'm assuming it was a planned upgrade, or was it kind of something that we just had to get something fixed? It was about $15,000 to $16,000.
Yeah, it's part of our budget plan. We've been planning on it for a while.
All right, so that's a normal. All right.
All right, any other comments, questions? All right, close public comment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, new business. Joe Natcher, please.
This item is to award a contract with Gates & Associates for design services for Cornell Park for some of the projects we have planned out there. I'm going to ask Aaron to come up and give that presentation to you this evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
So the contract before you, or the RFP we're requesting to be approved, is for Gates and Associates. It includes landscape architect services, civil and structural engineering for multiple projects that we approved for this fiscal year for Cornell Park. Those projects include the solar lighting, the replacement of the existing lighting around the pathways, the pickleball courts, and some conceptual designs for the splash pad for our future discussions. There is also an added request in here that we do a whole park survey during discussions and meetings with the architects that bid the project, we don't have any current plans, and the plans that we do have are not complete, or we don't have all phases of the park, because we are going to be doing work throughout the park instead of just doing survey work in each area. It would be a wise time to get a whole overview, especially with the other improvements we've made in the past couple years, and get a good plan going for what we've done in the past, and what we're going to be doing in the future, and be able to use that document. This was not part of the budgeted plan this year. That cost is $7,800 plus any reimbursables. So we're requesting $8,500 be approved with this contract. It is included into the RFP, but there's the whole amount is $35,000, $8,500 of which is for the survey and any reimbursables for there. So that's kind of the only catch here that's different than what we discussed earlier in our budget meetings this year.
Is this what the survey, are you just plotting out the physical surface, or are you plotting out what?
They're going to do a topographical survey. They'll actually do a flyover. They'll take an aerial image, and then they'll do groundwork from below and work with both to transpose them. And you're going to get, you're going to include all the hardscapes, so in your restrooms, your play areas, your structures, distances, your basketball courts, your sidewalk, light poles, drain inlets, tree location, size. So just going to see where everything is at, and right now there's no way to know what's underground.
We don't have old plans that we can match
not
up
with all the phases. No, and they don't exist.
Okay.
I mean, they do exist, but
the architect's not going to merge
we haven't had them yet. So this is the best way to move forward, so that we have some solid information, which doesn't exist right now. So we have pieces, like when we did the playground area, we have a piece of that is actual now. But for the whole park, we don't have
underground surveys.
Nope.
How confident are you where all of our underground is?
Well, the things that we need to identify, the storm drains, we have plans for that. So we know where our storm drains are. We know where our main lines go. From there, a lot of the lateral sections are missing out of some of the phases, so I have no idea where some laterals go. There's actually a couple valves that I can't locate either.
Sure.
And have been buried, and we don't have that phase.
But we can identify.
For the most part, we have, we know where the utilities are. There are some that we cannot locate, but there's no whole plan for that. And then what we're finding is, even because they're not as-built either, so we're looking at construction documents that might not have been what they ended up putting in the ground, because they're not an as-built. So we have run into that before, where we started when we did like the playground removal last year. We thought we'd find things under there that weren't under there, you know. So it's not always accurate.
But our mains and sewers can be identified, right?
Yes.
Our storm drains?
Yes.
Okay.
So the survey is going to take care of it?
The survey will show our storm drain inlets as well. So anything that's visible that they can see in the park, they will mark, they will show. Obviously, they can't show what's underground. We do have some of that. We can piece that together. But I don't know how accurate the underground is. It's close. It's a good start.
But the misconception is, I don't believe your survey is going to show you the underground.
No.
It won't be able to do that, because they won't be able to know unless they physically dig, open trench that, and the only way they'll find it.
Just above ground.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this this project for not to exceed $40,000.
I'll second it.
Any public comment? All right.
Well, I have some questions still.
And
that is that when we talk about the pickleball courts, it's not specifying exactly how those are to be built, and the board was pretty specific on that in the prior meetings with regards to dimensions and the ability to convert to tennis courts and that type of thing.
Well, I'm not specifying anything on here as far as like what solar lights are going to have or where they're going to go or anything. So at this point, we're talking about design. And as we did the whole package together, and as each part of this package becomes available and it goes to bid, you guys, you guys will be informed of the process. You guys will be able to approve and see those documents. The landscape committee will also be involved with that. So it's a long ways down the road, but it will be designed how it was discussed in our budget meetings.
Okay, because it won't do any good if we have to pay somebody to redesign it again because we don't approve of the way.
No.
So I just want for clarification purposes.
Yes, yes, sir. Definitely
okay.
We'll be following.
The plan is to be consistent with what the direction was that was given back on June 13th at the board meeting, which, if you recall, the board authorized an additional $20,000 to increase the size of the pads from what would be a pickleball sport court size to what would be a tennis court size, so that in the event it was ever deemed that pickleball was not in favor any longer, it could be converted back to a tennis court with relatively little expense.
Perfect.
Just one quick question about that. I know it's down the line. Is the fencing, I was thinking about this yesterday, is the fencing that's going to go around the pickleball court, is it going to be brought in for the pickleball court, or is it going to be on the perimeter as it would be for a tennis court?
It's going to be on the perimeter as it would be for a tennis court.
Excellent.
Same design as what we've got,
good
the
answer.
Nice defense system.
Good
that's
question.
Very nice over there, this court.
The architect did mention some options where we could do roll-away fences, you know, or something if you know, they wanted to use the pickleball for something like that. But it just really depends on how the budget goes, and it does make sense to have a smaller fence because the pickleball game, and especially if this is what we're using it for, is playing on a smaller court. You don't want to go chasing a ball across a non-play surface. So if that becomes available and we can do some sort of temporary, I don't want to put anything permanent in the ground there, but those are options, and especially if we can, you know, use that for other functions in there as well.
I have
so
two
as
courts
we go
on
into,
a tennis court.
Yeah, so as we get into design, we'll know all those details. I don't.
Or bleachers.
I don't. Yeah, I don't have all those answers.
You're on bleachers, right?
Yeah, have bleachers for scoreboard.
Anyway, yeah, I'm excited about that. I think this is a good work, and I'm looking forward to seeing that design come through. Any public comments, questions?
I have to assume on the solar lights that you've already did a calculation on the cost savings benefit.
There wasn't a calculation on what was on the actual electrical savings because the lights had to be replaced regardless.
Right.
So the lights are, so whether we went into a whether we went into a solar light or an electrical light, the electrical lines would have to be replaced because they keep failing through there. You'd have to remove, replace, and buy new structures. And so there wasn't anything to compare because we were having to replace new and we're going to get rid of that expense. So it wasn't compared at the time.
Like
so
for
no,
the electrical savings, we didn't calculate that.
Yeah, no.
Well, we already have these solar lights in another park.
We're moving to use these solar lights in not only the park that's existing at Ravenswood, but we also have it budgeted out for Slifer Park in the next fiscal year.
Well, I'm all for all the above alternative energy. However, sometimes the replacement costs down the road over time, you lose your electrical savings.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to see if that's good thought.
When we did do the Ravenswood, just to touch on that, there was a very good warranty on the solar panels. I can't tell you what they were, but I remember we discussed that. You know, the lights, we haven't replaced any lights out there. They've been going for a year and a half so far. We did have one issue with the panel, which the company definitely came out, replaced it, no issues since then, and they've been working great. And I believe it's I don't want to say, but I remember that came up and that there was a very long warranty on it and the hours of use was, very comparable to what we were getting with our, what we're seeing at Cornell Park. So.
Thank you. All right.
Can I speak to the pickleball, please, for just a second? And we're glad that we're moving forward on that. However, I would encourage that we treat the pickleball courts as a pickleball court and not as just some big area that we haven't net up. So, and it will take some sort of interior devices to do that. And what we're talking about building, we could actually have four pickleball courts I'd actually suggested to Farron that we might consider two badminton courts and two pickleball courts. So the badminton court is the same exterior size. There's actually one line that's different internally. So it's something to think about as we get to work with the design folks. So
that's
thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Any other comments, any questions? All right, can I get a second on that? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Farron.
Next item for board consideration this evening is back on August the 1st of this year, there was a discussion relative to the types of meetings that board members attend outside of the regular requirements of attending regularly scheduled and special district board meetings like this evening. There was kind of a confusion with the terms that were used. They were sometimes referred to as subcommittee, sometimes referred to as committee, and sometimes referred to as an ad hoc committee. In going through the list, if you actually turn to the very last page of the general package, if you go through that list, this is the, with the exception of the communications committee at the end, this is the list of committees and appointees as of the last time the board took consideration, I believe it was back in June. And so, what I've done is I've gone ahead and changed the names from ad hoc and committees and just referred to them as subcommittees as they relate to board subcommittees.
Right.
And changed the, recommended changing the name of two committees, one from the Parks and Landscape Committee, and from Landscaping and Parks, from the Parks Landscaping to the Park Landscaping and Parks Subcommittee, as well as the creating what was known as the Parks and Recreation Subcommittee. There is a discrepancy and some confusion between Parks and Landscaping versus Parks and Recreation. And President Steele and I had a further discussion on that this morning relative to the Parks and Recreation Subcommittee, and it may be better if we just rename that to the Recreation Subcommittee so that there's no confusion moving forward with that. The communications subcommittee, the communications committee was, for all intents and purposes, disbanded when the communications committee completed their report back to the board back in December of last year. However, staff feels that it would be prudent for a communications subcommittee to be reestablished in some form, so that we can discuss some of the items we've been talking about recently relative to the newsletter that's going to be coming out, the monthly newspaper articles, as well as some of the design ideas we have relative to possibly changing our district logo. So the members that were appointed to that committee were, at the time, President Graves and Chris Steele. And those two are, I left them on there only for the purposes, just so you knew who served on that committee. But other than that, this kind of breaks it down. And for the board subcommittee appointments, there's not really an alternate, there's not really a primary and an alternate. There's just two members that sit on the subcommittee. And so I would break that out so that everybody knew that there's two board members that sit on it. We just have to call the meetings when we have to convene them. When we need to convene them.
You guys have any comments or changes or anything?
So
you'd like
you're
to
going
see
to change the Parks and Rec activity, recreation subcommittee?
Just an idea.
To me, landscaping and parks are synonymous. It's the landscaping part. The recreation part is separate.
Something like
that. I think a breakout makes sense.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Kevin?
First of all, the Parks Landscaping Committee has, in the past, not been concerned about what activities occur at the park, but rather how the park was, the upkeep in the park and the landscaping.
Yeah.
So in clarification, I'm not sure if we're agreeing or not, I would see that be a landscaping subcommittee and that Parks and Recreation be one to be synonymous with most other districts who have their a committee that's in charge of what occurs in the parks with regards to recreation be part of that.
I don't know if that was exactly what you said.
So you're suggesting that...
It's kind of semantics. You know, you're kind of semantics.
I like that better. I really have a lot of landscaping stuff.
As far as the way I look at it, is what you call it is that our landscaping committee is responsible for landscaping and parks and all the landscaping areas. The recreation, yes, is that the whole deal is the activities.
Which occur in the parks.
Which occur in the parks.
Occur in the parks or other places. Yes.
And then secondly, my comment would be that I would, if it takes a motion, that I would like to make a motion that the communication subcommittee be reestablished if it was officially disbanded and be left as a subcommittee for exactly that kind of need, if it comes up in the past, to give advice to the board after consulting with staff on certain issues. I don't know if it, I don't know if there's a point of order there or not.
Can I go back to the your previous point on the parks and landscaping and recreation? So are you suggesting, Director Graves, that the first one under board subcommittee appointments just be listed as landscaping subcommittee, and then the one further down, the third one up in the bottom, remain parks and recreation subcommittee?
That's what I would prefer to see, because like I said, it's landscaping throughout our whole district, which includes parks. So it's kind of almost redundant to say landscaping and parks, because there's obviously landscaping in the parks, and that function of that committee is to oversee the landscaping, making sure the contracts are being held properly, making sure the trees are being trimmed correctly, making sure working with Farron on landscaping. But I'm not married to any of them. That just seems to be the cleanest way to do it to me. That's just my suggestion.
It doesn't, as long as we know it, which one, which group does what, that's fine.
I mean, we have enough.
I just think about when all the other districts that I'm familiar, it's always parks and rec, and that usually takes care of the softball leagues and the soccer leagues and that type of thing.
We're all gone in 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
Any position changes, you guys? Because I'm going to make a decision here in a second, but I need you guys to kind of guide this. Do you have any changes, Ray? Are you good with what you're on there? Mark, are you good with what you're on there?
I didn't think that's what we were bringing this back to the board for, but
I think we are. We're going to finalize this list right here, and then the board's going
to... The intent to bring it back was because of the confusion relative to the words committee, subcommittee, ad hoc committee, and there was a consensus, I believe, from the board that said, let's straighten that part out. So that's what I tried to.
If I may, aside from that, there's nothing in this item about changing members of the board or changing positions. It's sort of name changes and how we name the committees.
That's correct. However, it is the board does have the ability to change those.
It doesn't need to be an agenda item to change it. It is on the agenda. Review and discuss. It's very broad.
Okay.
So yeah, I thought we were.
It's very broad. Oh, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was review and discuss. So, okay. And then on the communications subcommittee, I agree we should bring that back. I would look for somebody who wants to be on that. Any hand raising here?
If one of you guys don't want to be on it, I'd love to be on it.
Why don't Jim and Kevin Graves be on the communication subcommittee?
As needed.
All right, and then wastewater and water's going great. The park and rec subcommittee, I'd kind of like to be on that. I know, Kevin, you're a busy guy. I was wondering if you would be all right if I worked on that.
Well, I believe we discussed that earlier this evening, and I indicated that because you're on the community center committee, I feel like I'll be out of touch with a little bit of what we're doing with regards to recreation within the town. It hasn't met yet. It hasn't even been established. I mean,
it's been established, hasn't it?
But it hasn't had a meeting yet. I really feel that it would. I really would like to kind of be involved in that.
Okay. All right.
Which one are you talking about?
The park and rec.
Recreation.
And then recreation. Yeah.
Or the recreation, or whatever we're going to call it.
Are we calling it park and recreation committee, subcommittee, or recreation subcommittee? I thought you said park and rec subcommittee. So
that's what we talked about. Okay. Well, that's the way it's written.
All right, no problem. And then everything else looks okay here. Jim, do you have anything else you'd like to change or move?
Not at this time.
All right.
So the only one we're changing is communications? We're subcommittee?
Gonna, yeah.
It's going to become Jim Madison, Kevin Grace.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just to be, I want to make sure we get this correct.
I'll make it. I'll make the motion. Any public comment? Just a little semantics here, but we just want to be clear on, you know, we're setting some precedents here for the future.
I can't resist.
Just comments.
Call it Park Recreation Subcommittee.
Thank you. All right, perfect.
We are calling it. Well, you have S's in the end. Which means it's, to me, it looks like two things.
Yeah, it is. There's more than just parks around here. So, all right, I'm pretty clear on this, so I'm going to make a motion that we have a landscaping subcommittee, and then we call our budget subcommittee, our community center subcommittee, investment oversight subcommittee, public financing authority subcommittee, park and recreation subcommittee, water and wastewater subcommittee, and reestablish the communications subcommittee with Kevin and Jim as the two members of that. Can I have a second?
I'll second that.
So you left everything the way it is. Didn't take any on.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
You're moving right along.
Sorry.
That's all right.
The next item is an agency comment request from the county. It's a request for a home-based occupation use permit. The applicant is Adrian Pell. It is for a home at 726 Willow Lake Road, and Mr. Pell would like to have a home-based consulting, computer consulting and software business.
Is Mr. Pell in the audience? I've never seen him at the chamber either.
Do we know if this is going to require having an open door policy of people bringing, picking up computers and consulting and meeting with him, or is this going to be a...
That's a very good question. Normally when the county goes through this process, they do not allow for one of the conditions of approval, and I'm sorry, I don't have all the conditions of approval, but one of the conditions of approval is that there not be any business traffic or product placement or product sales from the home-based business. And like I said, I don't have a copy. They don't generally send the conditions of approval.
Can we put this off and get a clarification from them?
They might not have the conditions of approval already identified yet, but we can certainly, if the board wanted to, you can make that one of your conditions that you would like to have.
It actually is a phone-based computer consulting and software consulting, if that helps at all.
We've in the past, we had a last year, about a year and a half ago, if you recall, Director Simon, you may recall this, there was a request for a business that did wholesale vehicles. And the letter that we sent on behalf of the board was that the board did not have any concerns with the business other than the fact that they did not want to have any vehicles coming and going on site and being sold on site. It was strictly a paperwork process. So we could certainly have language similar to
no
that.
No customer traffic.
No customer traffic.
Yeah, so. No increased pedestrian traffic because of the business or something along those lines. Do we need a motion on this? I would make a motion that we send a letter with no comment other than no increased customer or pedestrian traffic due to the new business.
I'll second that.
Any public comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
The next item is a very similar request. It is for another home-based use permit. Douglas Browand is the applicant to conduct a home-based fiber optic consulting business.
like to make a motion, yeah, if we have discussion, that we make the exact same motion that Kevin just made the last one.
I will second your motion, Director Simon.
Thank you very much.
Is Mr. Go ahead. Any, is Mr. Brown in the audience?
No.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
The last action item for you for this evening is consideration of a change order number 9, change order number 10 to Conco West in the amount of $132,000, and for the second one of $238,500 for the concrete solar pad project that's taking place down at the wastewater treatment plant number 2. This is part of the overall master plan project. If you recall last year when the board authorized this project, it was done so in two separate phases. I take that back. It was done so the funding was done over two over a period of two fiscal years, fiscal year 11-12 and 12-13. The entire project, however, was included in the master plan, and that master plan was the basis for our public financing, and it's included in our list of capital projects for the financing project. We met with the engineers a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes.
And discussed this at our water and wastewater subcommittee meeting, and felt that now is the time to move this project forward. We would go ahead, and while the project was originally scheduled to be completed over a multi-year period, the fact of the matter is that the contractor's on site, mobilization's already there. They are holding their bid pricing, which is key at this point in time, considering it was originally awarded back in February, and commodity prices do change. And so what this action will do tonight will finalize all the concrete work and all the underground utilities and everything that goes on out there for the future greenhouses that will come in at a later date. So that's what this does. It completes all the concrete work and all the,
right,
the groundwork that's in there right now. And key to this is really the fact that they're maintaining their pricing on.
Yeah, we firmed up the pricing.
And it's a, and you know, it's one of those things when you go out to bid, if you didn't move forward with this and you waited, you don't know who you're gonna get as a contractor to come in. And since they've already been working there, they know the process, they're familiar with it, they're the ones that built it, they're the ones that built the tie-ins. We just felt that the project had steam, and it would be appropriate and prudent to go ahead and complete it at this time.
I'd make a motion that we authorize the contract change order 0009 and 10 to Conco West for the belt press and dewatering project.
I'll second that motion.
Any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any director's comments?
I have one or perhaps two.
All righty.
Commit ahead of time. Don't be afraid to commit.
I would like to acknowledge two people in this room for their for excellent work. Farron, you've done a great job with our parks and rec, and I just want to acknowledge you for that. The town's come a long, long way since you've been here. And Carol, every time we go through these books, every piece of paper is always where it should be. If it was me doing it, it'd be all screwed up. And I want to recognize you for the great job that you do as well.
Thank you.
You're here.
You're here.
I second that recognition.
It's funny, Carol and I had that exact same conversation earlier today, so I'm glad that the board recognized that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Should be rewarded with a pay cut.
I think she got to get her own cup of candy. I think she has. Are you done, Dr. Mass?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Vice President.
I did attend a meeting, it seemed like ages ago, for the school board on August 16th. And the highlights were that they are addressing directly issues with bullying and cyberbullying by having the DA come out and speak to, I have to just repeat what they say. Coming out to meet with, they do a huddle every Monday morning, I believe it is, in the new gymnasium, where all students come together because the facility is large enough to do that now. And the DA is going to come out and give a brief talk about what is bullying and cyberbullying and what the repercussions can be. And I guess that is a problem that is come up that never occurred more than 10 years ago, but all of a sudden has become a problem on campuses. I don't understand why, but apparently that's the case. And they closed out the Measure C construction. Ron Holcomb was there and got great recognition for the fantastic job he did in managing that money and getting every penny and dime out of that that he possibly could. And that's about all I got.
I don't have anything new to report right now other than to remind you guys the peripheral canal and just be aware of what's going on there. I would say go online and get your updates on SaveTheDelta.org. I'll move on here now. General Manager, please. Oh, I'm sorry, is there? I don't think so. Yeah, General Manager, please.
I have two reports this evening. Farron is going to give an updated landscape manager's report. This is scheduled for the last meeting, but due to unforeseen circumstances, we pushed it back to tonight. So Farron is going to go ahead and give the board an update on that.
Talk about the Clifford Drive project, which has been going on all summer. This is during our demo phase, and I apologize, I couldn't find it, my before pictures. I'm kind of between two computers right now, and everything's not completely organized. So this is during demo. This is towards the beginning of summer. We removed the grass areas at each of the entrances at Cove and Balboa. We removed almost all of the smaller vegetation and any of the trees which were deemed hazardous. This is work going on while we're removing the sod on the corners. This is the very first section. The section is complete. The wall fell apart when we took some of the shrubs out that has been repaired. And this is the new sod once it's been installed. It looks still really good. We did lose one corner because a valve stuck on the day after we installed it. It was over a weekend and it flooded and killed it. We seem to be having that same issue on this project. We have hit a couple hiccups with it. A lot of the valves in this area, the water's been turned off to Clipper for over a year for a major portion of this. The irrigation there, while we knew we were going to abandon everything that was underground, I didn't realize that there would be so many failed valves when we started going into there, because you couldn't test them before because everything was packed, so you had no idea what was working or not. And so what we found is that we spent a huge amount of time in the beginning trying to replace valves, troubleshoot valves, find wire breaks, do wire tracing. Finally, because we only have two guys and this was taking forever, I just brought a company in and finished the work and just had them do all the valves. So that was something we ran into, put us a little bit behind schedule. One of the big things I do want to touch with on this project is that we've kind of partnered with the Boys Ranch. There's a couple of gals here in town, Camille Heave and Ryan McNamara, who have this kind of manages program called Sprouts, and they go and work at the Boys Ranch. They've asked me previously to come out and come help with projects on their ranch, which I have. And kind of in return, they wanted to see if they could come out and help us on this project, which I gladly accepted the help. They bring out a probation officer. It's been all approved through the proper channels with them, and they come out. They work for about 3 hours in the morning. But they're learning things while they're there. So we're kind of supervising. We've got our guys there. There's a probation officer. The two women from the Sprouts are there. And they've been fantastic. These boys, they move. They came out this Tuesday. They're going to be out on Friday. And they've just done an amazing job. They're very respectful when they come out. I just want to say, if we ever get an opportunity to support this kind of program further, I've had nothing but great experiences with them.
That's good news.
How old are these kids approximately?
They range from, I think, about 13, 14 to 18. Mm-hmm. So, and it's kind of sad, we've been working with a group this summer, and all of them are getting out in the next 60 days, and so
some of them starting as early as next week. So, you know, if this continues or we have other projects that they can work with us later on, we'll be seeing different ones. But it's been a great experience. This is more of them working. This is the irrigation system. I think I talked with you guys about on Clipper. We were abandoning everything that was underground. This is called NetFM. It's like a drip line, but it has pre-drilled holes in it that have a check valve built in. So if you actually like were to cut a cross section of that hose, there's like a little filter that's attached inside the hose at every hole that's separated about 18 inches apart on the hose. Now, what we've been finding, or what I found, is it's great to install, super easy to install. We put it in. We cannot get the watering schedule determined. We tried to follow manufacturer recommendations, and our soil just holds the water and it sits there. And so what you're doing is cycle soaking, and really with the mulch on top now, it's not going anywhere. And we've kind of drowned out a percentage of the plants that we originally installed. And so while we were going section by section first on Clipper, we took that back to start just doing irrigation, and we left some of these lines open so that we could identify and physically see what was going on when the ground was drying up, and really tie in those irrigation times so that we're not putting any more plant material in and losing it until we get that dialed in. So so right now we're almost complete to the second corner on irrigation, and trees will start going in on Friday again. So we're going to resume planting. It'll only be trees, and then we'll end up doing the upblown in mulch at the end, which should put us on schedule. What are we looking at?
I do.
The lines that you're putting in right there, obviously it's a surface irrigation. What's the life expectancy of those lines?
I don't know the warranty on it.
I'm asking, in other words, if we get 3-4 years down the road in this heat, and with all the greenery grown in, how do we get those lines out in the event of something happens?
They don't go underground. We don't bury them. They're just under mulch. So any repairs that need to happen, any sections that fail, you just cut out. Like any other drip system. So we did not put it below grade. So this is all sits on top of the dirt, and the mulch sits on top of it. So very easy to repair, very easy to find. Now we have to keep it mulched in those areas. We're not doing this all the way down Clipper. These are for the corner entryways only, where we have a lot more planting going on than down the center.
So when a car goes over the curb, we can fix this pretty easy?
Yes. And it's very inexpensive.
That's actually what I'm asking for. We can repair without a huge cost.
BMX dice drags his pedal or something.
Yes.
I was wondering about the end of that sidewalk right there. Is there anything the town can do to have that property owner finish the sidewalk? Or, you know, it just kind of ends into the dirt right there.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
And I think that's probably...
But that would be nice, because at that point you have to cross the dirt. You can't get to the corner.
It's actually
Anyway, that looks like a good plan.
The corner is property.
That's right, facing Discovery Boulevard. Wherever you put your sign last year.
This is the mulch we're using. It's the same mulch that goes into the playgrounds. It's the cedar mulch. And we did this instead of the colored mulch because Clipper is such a large area. The colored mulch is going to fade out a lot faster, and we have so much area to cover. And it's going to take a little bit longer for Clipper to fill in than the sections on the boulevard, or the ones where we kind of planted where it's going to grow together quickly. So this mulch will not gray as quickly, and it won't break down as quickly either. So we're not going to have to replace this until things start filling in. So
what kind of trees are we putting in?
A huge variety.
I mean, is it shade? Is this going to be a nice tree-lined street? Or
it's kind of a hybrid. So if you were, let's say you drive down Bixler Road and you're driving and you see all of the same trees, where it's just like ash after ash after ash. I kind of wanted to avoid that look for Clipper because it was so wide, but I didn't want it to look like it was a jungle either. So along the street side, we do see a lot of the same type of smaller trees, like our crepe myrtles and maiden trees. But towards the back and sporadically put through, we have a variety of trees that are larger shade trees designed to fill in, to block some of the houses, to provide shade over the walkway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so We didn't stick with anything. I think I've ordered at least 20 different varieties of trees that are going in there. Separate of what's already existing.
And do we have any like benches or hardscape?
We don't. Not for this part. Just the landscaping.
All right. I got my chairs. All right.
So this is some of the planting that was going on. I do have a couple pictures of that. And this is the very front section where the first Balboa. Sorry, right? Or yeah. Pope. Oh, thank you. So this is the first planting section that we're in. And this is like the crepe myrtles. This here looks like a jacaranda. We have these on the boulevard as well. They get the purple flowers, and they're not going to get extremely huge.
How do the neighbors respond with this work going on?
Most of them are very supportive and really excited to see things going on. I can't say all of them, because some of them want us to tear down the big trees that are there, and so there's always some concerns whenever we're working in an area, but
some want to chain themselves to the trees. You got them going both ways.
They just want to tear them down.
There's one lady there that called when we had to tear one down at one other point. She just was...
Save the tree. Huh?
Yeah, save the tree.
I like trees, too.
Hey, Fern, how many pooper baggy things are on the two or three?
I think there's three.
Three?
Maybe four. At least three, and we did order new ones for that. That was ordered, and we have that in stock. We're just not replacing until the end.
Yeah, I see a lot of dogs on that street.
Using your house for that.
Some of the other things that are going on, these pictures will come to you later. I did, I think Rick mentioned, but I passed my arbor certification, which was a big deal. Awesome. I got my patch in the mail today. It was exciting.
Awesome.
And
then,
just in time for the boom truck or the boom lift, which comes next week. So we've started tree safety training, and all of the things that the guys need to learn before we get on that lift to do any type of tree work. They also get certified on the use of the lift from the company when they come. There's 10 employees that will get that training. And then right after that, we're going to pull off a clipper for about a week to do a lot of the palm tree pruning. Not all of it, but the stuff at the entrance, some of the stuff that down Newport, where it's kind of become a nuisance, where we need to get those down. I'm assuming it's going to take a week. I don't typically think it would take that long to do those trees, but we are new. So my goal was to finish clipper by the end of this month, which I think is very doable. But I think we're going to push into the beginning of October because of that pull off. The capital improvement projects that we have approved for this year, you guys just approved the design package tonight. I believe once rolling through that and getting the design work done, solar lighting would probably be one of the first projects to be able to go to bid. That would be early spring. It's going to be an easier construction package, shorter turnaround, probably be installed very quickly. So that's probably an early spring project. The pickleballs will probably be later spring. And the splash pad conceptuals I would like to bring to community meeting or to however we're going to present that sometime this winter. So the benches replacements and picnic tables arrive, I believe, tomorrow. And they were supposed to be here today. But again, we're tied up until October. So those replacements won't happen until sometime in October, but we will have them in hand. An update with the county transfer of the parks within zones 57 and 61. We're back online with that. We did have a meeting, Rick, Dina, and I, with individuals from the county department that represents those districts. And we have a plan. We have goals. Everybody's working together for the same goals. Right now, our office here, the landscaping department, Sue and I are working on getting a very detailed inventory together of physically what we have in each zone, parks separated from the streetscapes. And that means counting each head, knowing what valves are, what the replacement costs are, what the values are, how many we need to replace a year. So we're getting, it's going to be very, very detailed information so that we can determine on how to split those funds and start. So this is again the basis of the negotiation for the fund transfers on what's going to go with what with the park to us and what stays with the streetscapes for the county. And we want to make sure it's fair because it's still all going to be managed by us. It's still all for Discovery Bay. We just want to make sure that split goes properly so that it's used for the right zones. And so we're working on that.
So we'll track valve replacements then.
We're going to have an inventory on everything, which will be great because it'll help with we don't have that for zoning. I don't know how many we have. We have irrigation reports. I could probably compile it, but we don't have it put into one place.
Once we do it, right, we'll have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Same thing with the trees.
How are you going to, what database are you using? Where does that store?
This is going to get just into Excel. So we have spreadsheets that are going to be for irrigation, trees, and then each one will have different values, and then we'll pull that together to a master that we'll talk about, you know, progressive. We're looking at a five-year window, what's going to need to happen in the next 5 years, and what are the replacement schedules. So if valves are supposed to last 10 years, and we're in our seventh year, starting 3 years out, we can probably start figuring that we need to replace, you know, 10 to 15% a year. You know, because not all of them fail right at 10 years. You know, you can usually get some longer life out of it. So those are the type of things that we're working on with this inventory so that we can talk to them and legitimately know what we're talking about.
I know you tag all of our trees, so you'll have that in there too.
We will, yes.
Okay.
So back to Cornell and the pictures. One of the things, I guess, we have had some irrigation issues out there. That we've kind of been working with the last couple of weeks. We've gotten a lot of complaints about standing water. We are taking care of that. So if you've heard anything about that, repairs are being made. We've turned off water in some of those sections. We're getting there. So, but the one exciting thing that we've done is that we started this. This company approached me a few months ago, selling. They're a manufacturer of a soil and plant food, like it's a fertilizer, but there's other things in it. So it's attacking the soil. Not, I don't want to say attacking. Attacking is the wrong word. But they're called Arable One, and I was a little skeptical because we've gone through this before, and we've tried fertigation, and we've tried gypsum, and we've tried a lot of products to try to help our turf and plant health improve, and we haven't really had much success. But then he said he'd come apply it for free. And so I said, okay, you know, that's fine with me. So they took an area of Cornell Park, and this is one of the first sections. This is right outside of the parking lot, and you see the restroom in the background. This is in July, and this is towards the end of July. They applied 1 quart for the acre of their product, and then they came back 30 days later. So then I'm just going to scroll through these pictures, but this is what we saw when this was existing. I want you to keep in mind while you're watching these that this was the hottest time of the year. We did no irrigation repairs during this time, and we did no irrigation modifications during this time with the scheduling. So this is, we didn't change anything.
No variables.
No. So this is what it looks like as we started. This is what we saw. So this is the second week have come out, and you're starting to see the different green colors come in here, new shoots coming up, new growth that you weren't seeing before.
Still
we'll get some back pictures. What you're seeing here towards the center line, so we don't go all the way across the field. The line where the application stops is it's kind of right through here. So this area was hit with the application up front. These were not in the background. So we're looking back towards the parking lot. You can see where a lot of these yellow spots were at, and you're seeing a lot of green come back through. We do still have some areas back here which were really in bad condition, which still have not responded fully, but you know have some growth. And again, so these are a lot of the areas that are worse, but you're seeing new grass pop up. And then you're looking, I'm looking the opposite direction from the very first picture you took, and this is just a couple weeks into it. Again, this is the areas in the center field. This now has had irrigation repairs done. So there were irrigation repairs, but we didn't do them until after the 30-day mark. So now we're hoping that we'll get improvements. We raised the valve boxes out in the field, so this is what you're seeing here. But the overall, what I'm trying to show is the growth of these patchy areas coming back in. The overall color and health of the main turf area back here where it's been applied. And this is the second application. So this is what the field looks like 30 days later, after the hottest time of the season, without any irrigation repairs, and without changing the schedule. So I don't know if you remember the first picture, if I can go back, but if you look at this, that's what it was 30 days before that.
What other municipalities are using this?
Sacramento, Carmichael, they're doing it a lot in that region up there. They're also doing testing in Modesto. the very first time that they came out and spoke with us, they kind of brought an armada with them, and maybe I just used the wrong word, but they really just brought a winery from Livermore who came out and talked about using it on their grapes and their vines, and that their first year vines were producing, and that usually, I don't know anything about grapes, but what they were telling me was that doesn't usually happen between 4 and 6 years it takes to produce. They were getting production on the first year. It's a non-toxic product. There's no salts in it. Really what they're selling and what they feel like they've put a corner on the market on, because I feel like everything's snake oil. I'm like, what is this, you know? And is that they've found a way to deliver this differently, and they're talking about nanotechnologies. It's a liquid form. I really don't know anything about that, but I know that it's shown to it's shown improvement. And I just have one last thing to show you real quick on that, and because they did a little bit better job. And I asked them to put this, to send me a video. And I think this is pretty quick.
Oh, there we go. No, I think the court breaker, basically. You put it on your property, your thing, but the most it would take is 2 court breakers.
So this is while they're applying. So this is actually what it looked like. This is the very first day. They have some of the wrong dates in here. They use the date of the second application.
It's not paint.
I was gonna say, it looks like they're painting it green.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's clear.
I wonder if it was miraculous.
Yeah.
How much does this cost, like, you know, per acre?
It's about, okay, so for we estimated about 26 acres for application. And it's about $4,000. It's about half the cost of what we would be paying for a traditional fertilizer. Now, one of the benefits of this that I just mentioned is that there's no salts in it. There's you know, some of the other things that you find in traditional synthesized fertilizers that we don't want in our soil, you're not going to find in this product. And so it's residual. It stays for about 3 months. You still have to reapply like you would a fertilizer. It does have some fertilizer effects in it. There are some micro and macronutrients in it, so it is getting some of that. But really what they're trying to do is stimulate the soil and the microbiology within the soil to allow the plants to use what's already existing. Because most of our soil already has nutrients in it. It's just unavailable to the plants. So this is trying to change the structure of that.
So it would be a quarterly application forever?
It would... We're going to take a look at that. I'm still studying on how I would want to apply. We're fertilizing forever anyways. So what I would like to do is to put this into our fertilization program, that this is instead in lieu of certain fertilizations at certain times of the year, that we would do this. So I'm not saying to get rid of fertilization altogether. I'm not willing to make that jump yet, but I am willing to stand by it and test it and we saw some really great improvements here. I'm going to fast forward into, okay, maybe they're finally there. So 30 days after the initial application.
Tell them we won't be convinced for a year and they need to do it for free for
a
year and then
so
we might buy
off. So here you are looking at the same area. And, you know, I was out there every week and I definitely noticed improvement, but it's like watching your hair grow, you know. It wasn't as noticeable until I went back and looked at the pictures. Went, oh my gosh, you know, and looked at the video. And if you go out there, it's just so much different than what we saw in the middle of summer. And I can't stress enough that we went through this in the hottest period without making adjustments, and we saw this kind of improvement. And that's just almost unbelievable, but it happened. And so
I think that you mentioned you did something with, because remember when we were talking about, it's like that 5 foot ring that was just all green and then it was brown out there. Mm-hmm. Did you say that you just did something with the sprinklers as well?
So after the 30-day application was over and we got our pictures and results, and after we did the second application, which was just like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we started allowing Valley Crest to start making irrigation repairs there because they were kind of on hold. So those have been, most of those repairs have been made now. So a lot of that stuff that you're going to see in the field has been re-nozzled. Some of them had been leaning, you know, hit by mowers or people on them, whatever the reasons were. So tons of repairs have happened in the last 2 weeks. So that's just going to even help more with a lot of those areas out there. So Anyways, I just wanted to let you guys know about it. It was very exciting. If you've been to Cornell, it's not the whole entire infield area, but the area that's closest to the parking lot looks fantastic.
Have you ever talked to the golf course people?
Yeah, I've gone over there and introduced myself, but we haven't had any serious conversations.
How do they keep theirs green?
Lots and lots and lots and lots of
cannons.
Yeah, the fertilizer budgets for like base, like professional baseball fields and golf courses, like quadruple ours.
Yeah. That was a nice picture of Cornell Park right there.
Yeah.
How's Valley Crest doing the last month?
They're doing better. We've there's still some issues. We were meeting twice a week. We were meeting on Mondays and Fridays, and we've toned that back. I am getting the Cornell looks amazing right now. Not everything's perfect, but from where it was, I've actually been getting compliments, which has been a long time since that's happened. So they've been keeping the turf low. I've been really happy with the progress they've made. I still think there is some progress to continue to make, but they've definitely turned around.
Who's been complimenting you? The people that live around that area or what?
The people who are in the park. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How's the plant replacement
They going? Still complain about the water. You're growing mosquitoes, but the grass looks good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How's Discovery Boulevard and the plant replacement going?
They're supposed to be starting that this week. I did see them out with plants today, but I couldn't tell where they put them in. I know that they were going to be working on that this week.
Yeah.
And then for some of the sections that haven't completely died out but that are not doing well, I'm going to use that product that they gave me and see if we get any response. So those are the areas I'm going to test. That. So I'm not committing to that product yet, but I just want to let you guys know because I think, you know, if it works, I'm fully supportive of it. I'm supportive of testing it more right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's looking good. That's looking pretty positive. Yeah. That's awesome. Any questions from or comments from the public? Anything from you guys? All right. Awesome. Good
Looks
job, Farron. Thanks
for having us.
Thank you, Farron. Virgil's going to give us an update this time on the salinity study that we embarked on a couple months back and update the board and the public on what the results have been and what he's found.
Okay, as you recall, we've been trying to work on a salinity study for a while. First, we had to try to get our hands around it. What do we want to test for? How we were going to test it? Where can we test for salinity? Salinity primarily in the wastewater. So where can you grab wastewater and test it? So we wound up taking 66 homes. They're part of the north end of Discovery Bay, the last development of Hoffman Company that hasn't fully built out yet called Village 4 and 5. In there are 66 homes that feed one sewage lift station. So that made it convenient, the sewage all comes to one lift station where we can grab samples from that lift station and have control, meaning that our game plan was to survey, take water samples from the front of the house, the water coming in, take it out of the sewage lift station where all 66 homes fed into, develop a baseline to see what our salinity levels were, then ask those 66 homeowners to shut off their water softeners if they had any. Before doing that, we went to all 66 homes by foot and found out what kind of water softener did you have. Some had some. Only 2 out of the 66 did not want to be part of the study. They did not trust government. And so they said, we didn't want to be part of it because you're going to probably dictate to us what needs to be done. And so 2 out of the 66 was all right. So the first week, we surveyed the homes. We took out of the 66, every seventh home, we took water samples from them at the front of the hose bib. Unbeknownst to me, a few of the homes had 2 hose bibs in the front of their house. One of them connected to the water softener, and one that was regular pump. And the results,
how many houses didn't have softeners?
I don't remember the number, but they were that is important. I can't remember what it was.
right there at the far right have no water softener. There's quite a few of them that did not have water softeners, but I don't know the number. The numbers right in here, those are the water softeners that had the name and number that we had. We had unknown, the homeowner didn't know what it was. There was only one who didn't let us in the garage. For whatever reason, we'd offer to go in the garage to read it and all that, but there was only one that didn't allow us to go in there, so we'd have unknown at the time. These are numbers that, these are the results that we, the addresses, you can see we have a high number, 1,100, you have 900 there, you have another 1,000 here. Generally, and then let's go down here where, these are the 100 ones.
What are the significance of the columns, Virgil? B, C, D, E, F, G, what is there significance to those?
Those are the dates that we tested for. And then the blue line indicates where we asked them to turn off the water softener. And then not every home was tested because it's 66 homes. And so some of them, we did see a difference in the water softener. Primarily what you want to look at is here. We installed a water softener at our sewage lift station. So we grabbed the sample of the water coming into the water softener so we know what it was, and then what did it leave afterwards? Did it generate any new salinity or salt after that? The wells, we wanted to know, what is your raw water bringing to the table? And so these are the results of our wells coming in. And then what we did, let me go down one more notch here. So let's, for example, well six. On that date, we had 417 liters. 425 is at the water storage tank. So you increased it a little bit because of the bleach. The bleach going into the water softener, I mean, into the system, adds a little bit of salinity to the overall system. Newport was the same. It was up there a little bit versus the wells. Here's the well numbers here. Pine Hollow is your lift station. That's the name of the lift station. And you can see with this is the whole week trying to develop a baseline for salinity. And then when we asked them to turn it off, you can see it dropping down through here. So we know the water softeners had a big effect on the salinity itself. Now a problem that we had is the UV. See this number here? All the sevens and eights and all that? Way lower than the number we are reporting to the regional board, or the Veolia is reporting to the regional board on a monthly basis. Veolia takes it twice a month, and we here just did it for 2 weeks in a row. What's being reported to the regional board is around 2,000, 2,100. And here, it was all under that. So we said we had a bust here, meaning something is astray here. So what happens is Veolia does a grab sample, meaning that in the morning, whenever they grab their samples, they have a little plastic container on a long pole. They dip in there and they grab. That's a grab sample. Ours is a composite, meaning that we had what we call an automated sampler, had a tube inside there. Every 15 minutes, it would draw water up, put it in a big container for us. At the end of the morning, when we grab that sample, that container, you'd shake it up, you'd fill up your sample bottle and send that into the laboratory to be analyzed. So the grab, at the time they grabbed it in the morning, was probably the worst time to grab salinity. And then we had to sit back, all right, Environmental Protection Agency has probably a few different what they call testing methods for you to test for chromium, for ammonia, and this and that. We then had to find what test method does Veolia's lab use versus what our lab used, and to see the sinking there. So we still have a slight bust there, we may go back to the regional board and say we want to have our salinity done on a composite rather than a grout.
Right.
Do they generally in the morning time, the water softeners, as they backwash, they generally are in the morning, and generally it takes anywhere between 6 to 8 hours for that water to get to the sewer plant.
Does the water quality board determine the method that we can use for a
engineers may dictate.
Or why are we using a catch process as opposed to, or grab process as opposed to?
That's what we've been on our permit, so that's what we've been doing.
Do they use a specific gravity measurement or electroconductivity measurement? How do they determine the salinity factor?
It's an EPA method that does that, and the lab does that.
Okay.
So we're probably, I don't know, we haven't decided yet. Which method we're going to ask on the UV.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Pardon me?
That's a huge difference.
Well, that brings us down into compliance.
Pardon me?
That brings us
way
into
down
compliance.
Into compliance, correct.
Which
we want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's out of compliance.
Does the law say you're going to have a spike? Or? Yeah.
So that's really the unknown yet that we haven't resolved yet.
All right.
But I will bring that back to you when we do.
All right.
So even if they said you had to do the grab method, you're saying you should be doing the grab method in late afternoon.
If we, but then what happens is you got to get everything to the laboratory. Certain constituents, you have to be in the lab within a certain amount of hours, or else that sample bottle is spoiled.
Right,
but it's no good anymore.
Salt never goes away.
Salinity is a 24-hour hold, so it's not a problem.
Oh, there you
go. It's generally some of the other constituents will only have a 4 or 6 hour hold time.
Right, right.
You've got to get it in.
Can't evaporate.
So our laboratory comes and picks up a huge amount of jars,
samples,
and then take it in.
Don't we have a lab over here already?
We do have a lab, but it's not state certified. You don't want to go there.
No problem.
Any questions? I just wanted to show you our results, what we got from that.
Yes.
We did, let me go back a little further to here. You see the number here, 12, here on, this is our lift station.
Mm-hmm.
When we asked the people to go ahead and turn your water softeners back on, we saw it spike back up. Mm. I left it one more day testing just to see if it would go up or not.
Right.
That's all.
We know what a big part of our problem is.
Yeah, we know it. We kind of figured that, but we weren't sure until we actually did the testing there.
So these guys, we don't have real-time monitoring of our salinity. We don't have a meter or a measurement tool. It's a sampling. It's not a real-time. Okay. That's amazing. Seems like you could just plug in a probe and just monitor 24/7, but okay.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah, that's good progress.
Thanks, Virgil.
What do you think?
Oh, before I forget, we did receive a new piece of equipment this week, and Tuesday we did receive a new trash pump, Pioneer pump we ordered from Oregon about a month and a half ago or so. And this is one of those that's very quiet. We can put out in the neighborhood, and they'll hardly hear it at all. So it's a needed tool. But it did arrive yesterday.
So when are we going to hear back from you on the salinity report?
We just need to work out between our engineer, and we're going to casually kind of talk to the regional board, talking about grab versus comp. We want to understand the pros and the cons.
Sure.
We don't want to put us into a situation down the road where it really cost us.
I mean, is that 2 months or 30 days?
I'd say within 30 days. Okay. It depends on the regional board.
All right.
In discussing this with other wastewater treatment facilities, any discussion as to what process they use and why they use it?
Every one of us do it differently in the way of salinity studies. My house, they were lucky enough to ban water softeners at the beginning. That was actually an edict.
But they still,
by the regional board, when that community first started, thou shall not have any salt producing water softeners installed.
But they still have to test for salinity, correct?
They test for salinity.
Okay, so my question is not that part of
it,
but
composite versus grab?
Exactly.
I do not know that. I can check, but
maybe Veolia has some records with regards to that, since they handle some different districts.
I think it's all by locale, individual locations.
Yeah. They're having an East County Water Coalition meeting or something? coming up here. There's a coalition. I saw Supervisor Pivo sent out an email saying that there's
that's more water side.
Is that water side of here? All right, no problem. Thanks. All right, now let's go.
Thank you,
Virgil. GM.
Moving on, I have two items this evening. One is, as you notice, if you drive throughout other parts of the region, you notice that there are homes and new development taking place. Well, it's finally hit Discovery Bay. It's come out as far East County. Kuiper Homes has just submitted a development plan for 21 single-family residences in Discovery Bay West in the Lake subdivision. They're in a land purchase agreement of some sort with the Hoffman Company to purchase properties out there. So those
they've already built out there.
Well, they have I believe an option for.
Sure.
They've purchased 91 lots and they came and pulled permits from us for 21 of those 91.
They have homes in the lakes currently.
That's correct.
This question
they even have.
Where do we stand with capacity study?
These are well within the capacity that is reserved and that is owed Hoffman.
Yo.
But
if Hoffman sells the lots,
but they're entitled. They're previously entitled.
They're entitled lots.
Runs with the land.
There, if you recall from the capacity fee report, it was that when Tom Gaffney came a few weeks or a month or so ago. There was a chart in there that had, there were approximately 260 or so water EDUs that we owe Hoffman Company, and there's about 500 to 600 wastewater EDUs. Those are already basically in their pocketbook. They own those through reserve capacity that we have within the existing system.
So we have the capacity.
Up to those numbers.
Along those lines, since there's that major controversy about that with the Hoffman Company, do they recognize that they're selling these lots? These lots run with the land with those EDUs?
The original development plan that was authorized by the county was for 1,999 homes. So they are entitled to 1,999 homes. They have about 700 left to go.
My question is,
and as a result, there was certain capacity that Hoffman bought when they constructed the facilities. That capacity, we still have some of that reserved for them.
Right. I guess my question is a little more succinct. If there is 700 homes that they still have available, and Hoffman is now selling them 60. Those 60 come out of that 700.
That's correct.
All right.
It's not.
So we just don't want Hoffman to go, oh, no, we still got 700.
No, you're accurate. That's correct.
All right.
And Hoffman made it pretty clear he's going to sell a bunch of those lots anyway, I think.
I don't think they're going to build anything on them. They're going to sell them all.
Which is fine.
I believe Kuiper, do you know what their option numbers are?
Option numbers.
I believe they. I had a conversation with David Lemon about this, and I don't recall the number, but I believe it was into the couple of hundreds that Kuiper Homes has the option to purchase.
It's not unexpected, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't know that.
But if I can ask you again, where are we with the capacity center?
It should be on a board agenda in the near future.
Meaning?
We're shooting for the 19th of this month. It may push back to the first meeting in October. The reason being that there are some issues relative to EDUs that were obligated to the Knightson School District, and there's a question as to the ownership of those EDUs. It's a little more complicated than that, but we are working with the Knightson School District. People have changed. They're the same people aren't there. I believe Virgil had a conversation with the superintendent today. As soon as we get that last number drilled down, we'll be ready to go. It just has to do with the number of EDUs that we either owe Hoffman or Hoffman's going to owe us.
My understanding is part of that school's opening back up, right?
From what I read in the newspaper, it's going to become a charter school.
Charter school, yeah.
High school, like not elementary.
Just part of it.
Yeah.
All right.
The only other item I have for you, and I apologize for this. I was supposed to have had it on this agenda. It will be on the next agenda, because I have to have it on the next agenda, is that pursuant to the CSD law and the government code, if a board member wants to attend a conference, it's required that those board members receive the authorization of the board. The CSDA conference is later this month in San Diego, and two board members are planning on attending that. And I did plan on having it on tonight's agenda, and that it will be on the next agenda for that authorization. I just wanted to get the full board an update, let you know that that was the plan.
Annie, are we going to participate in that water consortium deal?
To be honest, this is the first I've heard of it. I'm sorry.
Wow. Okay. It's that'll be good to get. I'll send you the email.
Okay. It may have come across, and I either haven't opened it or I just missed it.
No problem. Thanks. Legal counsel.
Nothing to report, sir.
All right. Thanks to have you here. Good to have you now. Thanks. Any committee updates? Okay. We do have correspondence. Okay, good. All right. P6 is active. All right. Any public records requests? No? Nothing significant? All right. Future agenda items. Do you guys have anything you'd like to see at our next meeting or shortly thereafter?
Where we are with the
agenda item?
The new... it was on the agenda, but it's not here. The renting, leasing the space over yonder.
If I may, for point of order, this is the items for future agendas, not a discussion item. So if you want to identify something.
I'd like to put that back on the agenda again, please.
And be clear on that. So an update on something?
The update, yes, on the looking into leasing the space over at the old... shopping center from the Hoffman Company.
Perfect.
3,600 square feet, approximately.
20 Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Actually, no.
Thank
it's,
you.
No, it's not 15.
It's called the Discovery Bay Shopping Center.
It's actually the former property that was held by Prudential.
Yeah, I'd like to feature agenda item. We one of our subcommittees, you guys, and I'd like to see a subcommittee calendar. You know, what's the next meeting plan? That's what I'd like to see. So we can have an update on that next meeting.
As needed.
Might be. All right, perfect. Anything else? You good?
I'm fantastic.
All right, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Good job.